This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
As believers, we are told not to let sin reign, for our lives are to be far different. And Dr. Wyatt will relate all that will be in him.
Thank you, Dennis. Sharon's reading from Romans is from the 6th chapter, and I want us to realize what God's grace has done. Yes, do stay tuned.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, to make you obey their passions. Do not yield your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but yield yourself to God as men who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you yield yourself to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness.
Thank you, Sharon, so very much. What I've had my wife read is not the familiar reading. Instead, I desire to deal with some of the more significant but frequently overlooked passages in this epistle. Passages that, if not already familiar, should be, for they help form the basis for some of the cardinal tenets of our faith. They are then important, and not surprising, some of my favorite. Paul's contention is that the way, those following the Messiah, is something unique, and what is actually occurring is not complicated. It has been the professional religionists that muddy the water and seemingly overcomplicate what is essentially quite straightforward. Paul begins this epistle to the Romans with the basic truth, as he writes, "All who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. There is no distinction, since all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." There will be much more, but this is basic. He is saying that we are all, as mortal creatures, fallen, all of us. This was once accepted truth in our societies. It was this that would form one of the foundations of the American Constitution, that man cannot be trusted to always do what is best or good, not in his governance or anything else. It is from this idea that man is fallen that we understand the very purpose of the Christian doctrine of salvation. The very meaning of salvation is that one is being saved from something, which here Paul describes as man's original fallen nature. And Paul spends a great deal of time here illuminating the nature and means of this salvation and our response to it, that we are not supposed to continue in this fallen state. For now, as he writes, God's righteousness has been manifested through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. We can thus be justified by God's grace, a gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by the shedding of his blood, which is to be received by faith. This propitiation is that God must be placated, and this has been done by the sacrifice of his Son, that we might have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This all seems so basic and simple to us now. Yet when Paul wrote these words, it was all new. As was his words that believers are to die to this sin and are to be buried with Christ by baptism unto his death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Our old self is to be crucified with him, so that the sinful body might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to this sin. We are thus to die to sin, as Sharon has read for us. We are not to let sin reign in our mortal bodies, not yield our members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but yield ourselves to God as people who have been brought from death to life. This now takes us to the Christian idea of life in Christ and what salvation is meant ultimately to be, that there is a redemptive power in Christ, and we who have come to know this power are to live differently. As has been said, godly living is a necessity, not an option. Sin is not to reign in our daily lives nor in our mortal bodies. Yet we still exist in the flesh, as Paul puts it, but we are to live as well in Christ. And as such, we have to deal with the reality that sin has not yet magically been removed from our lives. We face, as all do, the truth of sin and evil all about us and its enticements and temptations. This body we inhabit is to be used for God's righteous purpose. For we are in Christ those who have been brought from death to a newness of life. We actually have the power to be freed from sin. And therefore, as Paul asserts, sin is to have no dominion over you. This is not a command, but actually an imperative future. Thus, it is a promise. We are able to be used by God for his righteous purpose, precisely because sin has now no hold over us. It has no lordship over us. Now our author Paul will clarify the difference between the law and what God has done in Christ. The law was revealed not as a means of deliverance, but because of it, all mankind will be held accountable to God. Every mouth, every excuse will be silenced. The law, you see, reveals sin. By making it apparent, it reveals the extent of our guilt and that we, all of us, deserve God's wrath. For no one is justified by the works of the law. We are all of Adam. Paul will add in another letter that the law justifies no one. And if one was still under the law, our inability to keep it leaves us subject to sin, guilt, and deserving of judgment. But as believers, things have changed. We are not under law, but grace. We are to be free. For true freedom is not the ability to do whatever we can, or what we try to do or wish to do. But at last we are able, but better, we are free to do God's will. We are free to be righteous in Him. This Paul will illustrate by using the image of a slave. For sin is actively anti-law, anti-righteousness, anti-God, anti-spirit, anti-life, and it enslaves utterly, and thus will destroy utterly. And this is mankind's dilemma. To seek pleasure, the good things without God, is to throw away the very key to pleasure and all that is good. There is something in humbling oneself before God, which exalts the heart, and there is something in unbelief that debases one, to paraphrase Augustine. Clearly, sin matters, and mankind is a slave to sin, which inevitably leads to death. We are instead to be, as Paul says, slaves to obedience. Slavery, just as with sin, leads to the loss of everything that can really be called life. Sin does not enlighten, create, or enable, despite the claims of humanists or libertines. To choose sin is, in the end, irrational, alien, and unhealthy. It is the departure from the norm. It misses the mark. It wanders from the way. It is a stain, the spoiler. What we are saying that sin is unnatural, deviant, perverse, and a parasite. It is a way of existing that is not life to which we, as men and women, were actually meant for. It is why we recoil and react in horror, at least most did at one time, to the open display of sin. Why the Holocaust, the horrors of war, premeditated murder, and unrestrained barbarity still garners in humanity an abhorrence and great sorrow. Sin is unnatural. We are called much better, and why God is angered at sin and its consequences in our life. As Paul will express it later, I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law in my mind and making me captive to this law of sin which dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. As Paul clearly says here, thanks be to God. You who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart, having been set free from sin, having become slaves of righteousness. Paul's words are significant. He never infers that our salvation is by works or that we are somehow to gain godliness. His words instead speak of a deeply felt experience that this divine grace grips us, grabs us. It is by this we are set free, liberated permanently from that ancient evil taskmaster. We are to be freed from the enslaving power of our old life, freed from its bondage to decay, as Paul writes later. We were once in the grips of a tyrant, the tyrant of sin, death, and decay. But in all this, Paul does not confuse our newfound freedom with any sort of license. Paul does not see our liberty in Christ as an invitation to self-centeredness, self-grandizement, self-satisfaction, any fascination with our own feelings or a feeding on our own sense of importance. Believers are to be freed for a life of wholeness, balance, peace, and joy in Him. In this way, we are free and enabled to contribute to what is worthwhile. As has been said, we have not been freed to wander in a moral vacuum. We are to be slaves to righteousness. I have known even ministers who can excuse their behavior as not sin when it clearly is. That they are permitted such activities, for are we not free? But Paul has made it clear, by no means are we to sin because we are under grace. We are to be free of sin. Paul is perfectly aware of our natural limitations. We can be weak, pathetic, and frail, but that is not our calling, nor our destiny. Paul would have us strengthen our life in Christ and to realize we belong to Him. For we have been paid for with a great price. We are to die to this old life. More, we are to join in a new life in the Spirit. This is too often glossed over as just another way of saying salvation or of being redeemed, which is only true to a point. But the Spirit's indwelling is an active participant in our walk in this new way of life, this new creation. What it is that we are called to, this Christianity, a life that is to be distinctly unique. Here in what is a carefully planned and artfully balanced letter, which will now lead the reader to some of the most profound passages in our Bible, in what is thought the most insightful and meaningful book in our Bible, here and now we are to understand not just the rebirth of God's people, the establishment of a fulfilled or completed covenant community, not just the ransom of individuals within it, but here is a unique and new notion of religion itself. Paul has no time, or we might say no tolerance, for the pagan religions around him. Paul presents to us something new. Some make much of baptism and the sharing of bread and wine, which did much to undergird this fellowship. But far more is the understanding that now one has been brought into a living relationship with the one God, through the one Lord and his one final and complete sacrifice. And through this we are made temples of the one Spirit. It was a religio in Latin, as the Romans would call it, but unlike anything ever imagined or experienced before. This is all found in relation to one person, the crucified Messiah, and more, the Savior of the world. Everything is defined in relationship to him, and any efforts to water down, dilute, or compromise the scandal, as Paul calls it, or the folly that it presents to the Greeks or pagans. Of course, the pagan world was unprepared, just as were the Hebrews, despite all their expectations. Our faith is this: there is one God, one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who by his death has brought a new age, a new life, a new existence, available to all who believe, and by this, a life in his Spirit that brings all that is God now to our life in him. Lord, let us never forget what you paid and what you have done to bring about this new reality, this life in Christ, this life in the Spirit that we call Christianity. It is not to be just a religion, but it is to be a new life. For ultimately and forever, we have been made anew, for we are to be the bride of the Lamb. When your kingdom comes on earth, as it is in heaven, all for thy glory and thy Son Jesus forever and ever. Amen and amen.
Christianity is not just a religion, but a way of life, a walk, an abiding, if you will, an experiencing Jesus Christ. His life he sacrificed that we might have life in him. It is what we lovingly call salvation, and why this week my husband, Dr. Wyatt, is offering his book, Salvation: What, Why, How, and Other Questions. Here is what our God intended from long before the beginning of time, and why Jesus came, was obedient unto death, and how we can obtain this priceless gift. If you are searching, wondering, or have questions, write to us and ask for Salvation: What, Why, How, and Other Questions. It can be yours at no charge. We so want to thank all of you who, by your thoughtfulness and prayers, have kept this ministry vital and on your wonderful radio station. We depend on dear people like you for the Word of God to be broadcast to a world that is so in need of hearing the good news of our loving God's grace. And we are here as well to intercede for your requests. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. Too many seem unsure or nurturing doubts, but we are to know that the end is already written. As one Anthony of Yonkers, New York has shared, your newsletters are so right on, encouraging while they challenge our complacency. What a great word, Anthony, complacency, and so true. I want you, if you're interested, to receive our newsletter. It is free. Just write and ask for it. Dennis will give our addresses right after we hear this from the album, When the Stars Burn Down, Travis Cottrell performing The Word of God Has Spoken. And until next week, know that you are victorious.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen your glory like the rising of the sun. You have conquered all our darkness. The battle has been won. The Word of God has spoken. We are changed forever. The power of sin is broken. We are free. We are running to salvation. We have been delivered. The Word of God has spoken. We are free.
By the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and Dr. Wyatt is offering at this time a copy of his primer, Salvation. What, why, how, and other questions. This is a brief and scriptural look at what is salvation. So do write and ask for Salvation. What, why, how, and other questions.
It can be yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna, asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those that love Him.